Your praise and worship was phenomenal. It was an amazing. But before we start, I'd like to enter into a quick prayer. Let's just pray. Father, Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We enter into your gates this morning with thanksgiving. We enter into your court with praise. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and we are glad in it. Your steadfast love towards us never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We thank you, Father God, for the Joshua Center, for the impact that they have been given to the city of Hamilton. I pray, Father God, that you will increase them in every area of their life. I pray that you fill them up with your Holy Spirit and with power. I ask, Father God, that you bless them in the area that they need to be blessed. I can see they working on renovation upstairs. I pray and I ask that you bless them with financial blessings. And I ask, Holy Spirit, empower the deacons that are in this ministry. Empower them with divine revelation. Empower them, Lord, with divine understanding. I pray for the vision that is in this church. And I ask, Father God, that you give them divine revelation for them to go to the path that you have directed them. I ask, Father God, that you bring people into this ministry because this ministry is so essential. It's so important for the city of Hamilton. I pray you bring people from the east to the west, to the north, to the south. Let them come into this ministry and let them be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Joy, she is at my church right now, taking over the place. We are quite familiar with her at Victory International Church. She does an amazing job whenever she's there. It's a privilege for me to come here. I received an invitation 2 days ago, actually, by our current head pastor, Pastor Holloway. At Victory International Church, I sit on an eldership role. There is 5 members in the eldership group. And I'm among the 5. It's a privilege to be serving for that church. I wasn't always into God. I wasn't always into the church then, let's say. I'm quite also familiar with Pastor Ace. As when I first gave my life to Christ, I enrolled in a Bible college, and he was one of the teachers in the class. He taught us in evangelism, how to evangelize in ministry. This is about 13 years ago, if I can recall, 13 years ago. So it's quite some time now. Let's put our hands together for him. Let's put our hands together for him. Okay, so let's go to the book of John quickly. The book of John. I'm going to be talking to you this morning about the power of transformation. The power of transformation. The book of John, if you got your Bibles with you, please. John chapter 8. They always say if you're listening to anyone preaching the Bible and they don't open the Bible, just pack your purse and your bags and just leave. If they don't open their Bible, then what are they teaching you? You see what I'm saying? And that is one of the reasons why I said I like Pastor Ace. He jokes a lot and he has the one punch joke thing, right? Where it's like I was just sitting at the table and he said something interesting. He shook someone's hand and then he asked the person told him their name and he says, okay, spell the name backwards. And I was like, whoa, I never, it's like I'm saying, okay, my name is Andrew, and he says, okay, spell Andrew backwards or pronounce it backwards or something. I'm like, where did this guy get this stuff from? And that has always been him, right? Like, he threw punches, and it's like, I ask him, like, God, this man is a genius. You will never fall asleep if you listen to this man talk. So that is a gift, right? That is a gift, because who knows that if you're having a conversation with someone and you don't need to have a coffee, you don't need double-double, because anytime the person talks, it's almost like you're drinking coffee because he's waking you up, right? And that's who he is right here. The book of John, chapter 8, the book of John. The Bible says this, but Jesus, verse 1, John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went into a Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribe and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Now, I want to just highlight something. The scribes and the Pharisees are basically the leaders of the church. They were the leaders, not the church, but the leaders of the religious sector. Okay? They brought to Jesus a woman who was caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." The very act. My question is, when you talk about the very act, what were those religious people doing there in the very act? The kids are gone, right? Okay, that's good. What I was reading is, that's what I asked. You see what I mean? Because this religious people is bringing this woman, right, who's full of sin, and they basically are giving the introduction of exactly what this woman is doing. They said, "No, wait, this woman wasn't just caught in adultery. She was in the very act." Right? And they're supposed to be holy, right? So, verse 3, the scribes and the Pharisees brought this woman caught in adultery, and they set their eyes on her. "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act," verse 4, verse 5. "Now Moses in the law commandment asked that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they say, testing Jesus or tempting Jesus, that they might have something to accuse Jesus. "But Jesus stood down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear them. So when they continue asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without a sin, please cast the first stone.'" You know, Jesus Christ, on his earthly ministry, he spent 3.5 years on earth. In his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ, he performed a lot of miracles. We can't deny that. He opened the blind eyes. He opened the deaf ears. I was going through all the miracles of Jesus, and I'll tell you this. It is almost like all the miracles that Jesus performed, God intentionally picked a specific miracles that he knew that no matter how much society or the world will advance in technology, they can never duplicate that miracle. Think about that for a second. 2017 right now, I can pick up my cell phone and I can send a text message to someone in Japan and a person can receive it like that. That's how advanced we have gotten into technology. If somebody is in a coma or dying in a hospital, they can keep that person alive with life support. No matter how advanced we are in technology, if someone is blind, born blind, and they go to the hospital, they don't have any solutions for them. Think about that. If someone is deaf and they cannot hear, they go to the hospital, they don't have nothing. If you're blind, as a matter of fact, they just give you a cane to walk. That is why they created, when you're going through some of the traffic lights, you can see that they've put in this noises and stuff. It's for the vision impaired and people who are struggling. They don't have solutions for that. Ears, blind, they can't. Nothing they can do for you. The miracles that Jesus did in the Bible were so God. He's such a genius God. His infinite wisdom. He made sure. Leprosy. If somebody is struggling with leprosy, it eats their hands. It basically begins to eat their face. God picked that type of healings and made Jesus do it so that it will identify Jesus as the Almighty God. Do you understand what I'm saying? In all the religion, the only person that was able to do all these great miracles is Jesus. He walked on water. He multiplied a few loaves of bread. And he turned into King's Buffet. Or I'll say the Mandarin. That is a debate right there, right? Because me, you see me, I'm a Mandarin fan.
Welcome to join us once every month, we're at Mandarin.
See this guy here? He knows how to steal people into his church. Now, here I am. I want to go back to Victory. They're going to ask me, "So what's happened?" I say, "I don't think you guys are going to see me anymore." Because over here at Joshua Center, once a month, maybe we should start doing that at Victory. Once a month. All the greatest miracle that Jesus did is wonderful, is beautiful. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He did all that kind of stuff. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did was not to open the blind eye. Because you see, you can open someone's eye who's blind, Okay? And they can go their way. And when they go their way, they can live their life anyhow. Even after they got blessed. They can go and just live anyhow. Don't have... You are here this morning. You woke up here this morning because there is a yearning, something in your heart. You didn't have to be here this morning. You didn't have to be here. But there is something in your heart that God has removed. And he has placed a desire in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? That is why you are here. So many people right now, they're just waking up being sober. And I was one of them 23 years ago. But you got to thank God, because the greatest miracle that you can ever receive is a miracle called salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a miracle called salvation. Because salvation, listen, Jesus Christ resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Jesus Christ also resurrected this young boy from a city called Nain. He resurrected that young boy also from the dead. He rose some other young girl from the dead. But the Bible doesn't tell us what those people did after their life, even though they received such a great miracle. We don't know if the book of Revelation talks about the 12 disciples, how they are in heaven sitting with Jesus. But the Bible never tells us where Lazarus is, even though he received a great miracle. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the greatest miracle that you can receive, you already have it. This miracle is called eternal life. That one day, you are going to come out of your body. It's called death. And then when you do, you're going to realize that you're going to enter into this new world. You're going to get a new body. People think that when you go to heaven, you're just going to become like Casper. You know, floating around. No. No. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he showed himself to the disciples. And he says, look, they thought he was a ghost. He says, no, I'm not a ghost. Look at me. Touch me. And then he says, I'll even show you. Give me this bread and fish. And he broke it and he started eating it. This means that when you go to heaven, you're going to get a new body. You're going to be able to think. You're going to remember people. You're going to be smart. And you're going to basically live forever. And so the greatest miracle is salvation. And you know, I'll tell you this. When you guys were asking, when a gentleman was here, the deacon was here, he was asking, what have you, does anyone have a testimony? And I was thinking, I was sitting there and I was thinking, I'm like, man, I wish I could have shared my testimony, but then I realized, I said, no, man, if I do, it's going to take too much time. I'm going to wait until I come here and then I'm going to share it. But I'll tell you this, I came to Hamilton from Ghana. 1993. When I came to Canada, I was only 13 years old. 1993. I just gave you my age if you're good at math. But please don't calculate it, because I don't want you to know my age. When I came to Canada, I lived 20 Congress Crest by the Stony Creek area. The old, what is that Catholic school called? Bishop Ryan, the old Bishop Ryan, 20 Congress. Correct. Oh, that's what it is, huh? Thank you. I lived there for about 6 months. Only 6 months. And we moved down to the north end. My family and I, we moved to the north end, McNabb. There is he's laughing because you know why? He's already ahead. He knows where I'm going with this. We moved there to the north end. I lived there for 15 years in the north end. I was 13 years old. The first school that I went to, I'm speaking about the greatest miracle, is salvation. That's where I'm going with this. The first school that I went to is Benedo. 13 years old, grade 8. When I was there, I was doing quite phenomenal. I was doing well. Just came to this country, can't really speak English. So when I wanted to communicate, I would use aggression. Right, because that's the only way I could get my point across. Because I couldn't really, the English was very, because you see, Ghana, West Africa, where I come from, they were colonized by the British. So the British English is quite different from Canadian English. When they speak in Canada, it was kind of too fast for me. Right? So the only way I can get my point across, I hold you, I say, hey, buddy, listen, I'm talking to you. Right? So I remember I got suspended my first month in grade 8. Because I got into a fight with someone, the person was speaking, and the person said something. Like, I think he said a word, and I thought he said something wrong to me. I got into a fight, got suspended.
grade 8, I got into a little bit of issues, but I was doing very well academically. I graduated by God's grace from grade 8, and then I went to Sir John A. McDonald. Grade 9, fantastic, doing well. And then one day, I was walking downtown after school, and I met a guy. He was 25 years old. I was 13, and I liked his shoes, and that kind of conversation just, we created a kind of a friendship. So every day after school, I'll pass by downtown, I see him on top of the mall. One day, I was with him, and he asked me to try something. He says, I want you to try this, you know, just, all you have to do is just put it in your mouth, inhale it, and blow it out, don't keep it in too hard. At that time, I was about 14, and I didn't know what he was giving me. No knowing, he gave me marijuana. After I tried it, I became his friend. Six months later, in knowing this guy, I realized that every single hour of my life, I needed marijuana or I can't function. Within a six-month span, I became so strong in smoking. Drastically, my grades began to just drop at school. I got into a fight. I was power struggling with principals, can't follow rules, got kicked out of Sir John A. McDonald. And so I became friends with this guy. He was my close friend. He's 25. He had his own apartment building. So every time I'll go there, stay there with him, hang around with him. Through him, I learned how to sell heavy drugs. Crack cocaine, to be exact. So one day, I remember there was a lady came to his apartment and he was out. He didn't have nothing. And I said to the lady, I think I know somebody in the North End I could get for you. Let's go in a taxi. Let's go there to the North End. On our way going there, I left the lady in the cab. I went to go grab the drug from this other dude that I know in the North End. As I'm coming in the cab got surrounded by police officers. And the police officers came in the cab. I had the drugs. I tried to toss the drug away. They found the drugs. Long story short, I ended up doing some time in Barton Jail. And I was in Barton Jail. I called my mom. My mom is crying on the phone. She asked me, are you able to eat the food there? I said, for some reason, they just keep on giving me milk every meal. Breakfast comes with milk. Lunch comes with milk. Supper comes with milk. And my mom is crying. When I got out of Barton, I told my mom, I'm a changed man. And then I made another friend and slid back right into the life of the streets. This new friend that I met, he wasn't into this kind of heavy drugs, but he kind of talked me into it. He says, you got to move out of your mom. Your mom have too much rules. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. He says, your mom have too much rules. You got to move in with me. I woke up and realized one day I'm living with my buddy and we have 500 plants of marijuana in our basement. And then I was into this kind of business, this marijuana business, for quite some time. I thank God that I never got caught. A lot of times, our landlord will come and knock at the door, and we would just shut all the lights off and pretend because he can't come in. That's against the rule. A lot of times, even we have police officers knock at the door because the next door neighbor called the cops for some reason, not for us, and they got the wrong address. And they knock at the door, and we just knew that they're there for the wrong address. And we got these 50 plants, and we'll open the door. So I was into this business, and then I realized that the business wasn't making me as much money as I want because we would end up smoking on our, getting high on our own supply. You see what I mean? And so what happened is that I said, listen, I got to pack my stuff. This is not good. I know where I can make this other bigger money. I want to get into this. So I went to go get my own apartment. And I started getting into some heavy stuff, my own. Now I'm just me. I'm independent. And I can recall the one time I went on three days, no sleep because my cell phone kept on ringing. I was so busy on the streets. People were just coming to my apartment. 3 days. No sleep. I realized that I had so much money in my basement. In my closet. 3 days, no sleep, getting high, drinking. And then, I was sleeping. I said to myself, I'm going to take a nap. I was sleeping and I started hearing voices. Listen to me very carefully. You that are here, maybe you have a friend or maybe you have a son, a daughter. This is very important. I started hearing voices. And I'm telling you, the voices that I was hearing are not voices that are pleasant. The voices that I was hearing was multiple voices talking to me. Jump off the building. Cut yourself. There's no need to live anymore. They're using profane. It almost seems like every single profane words that I've spoken in my life, these voices was repeating these profane words to me. And then I realized that I'm in big trouble. And so I called my older brother, who was a pastor at the time, and he always talked to me about God, but I never wanted nothing to do with God. The Bible says, they knew, the book of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, they knew God, but they worshiped not God. That was me. I called my brother, coming to my apartment, because I'm hearing his voices, pray with me. He prayed with me, he invited me to Victory International Church. When I went to church, I sat in the church, just like you, and I was still hearing these voices for years. These voices tormented me for years. Every time the church was open, I was there. When it's praise and worship, I was there. When it's let's go to the streets to evangelize, I was there. That's why I love Pastor Ace so much, because the things that he's doing, he's not just saying, let's come together and let's pray. He's actually going to the streets and not just praying, he's putting the praying in action. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of church people who, like the Pharisees, the scriptures that we just read, they're just in the church and they will judge you by the things you do. They will condemn you. They will call you names, not inappropriate names, appropriate names, but they are not appropriate. They will judge you by your deeds and the things you do. That's why I love the Joshua Center so much, because you see, now, right now, currently, my background, I'm a social worker right now. Didn't have no education. I went to adult school, got grade 12. Went to Bible college. That's where I met him. I did 2 years of Bible college. After that, I did 2 years at Mohawk College. I'm married. My wife is a doctor. The power of God entered into my heart. I never went on rehab. Never took no medication. Even though, don't get me wrong, my wife is in the medical school. But I'm telling you that there are some things that Jesus can do for you that no one can do for you. Amen. There are some things that Jesus can do for you that no one can do for you. My church, Victory International Church right now, it is about 300 members. There's only 5 elders and I'm among them. Simply because I decided to follow Jesus. So I'm here to encourage you this morning. You know, you're worshiping, you got worship music here, you guys are into the word. I'm telling you, don't take your salvation for granted. Don't take your salvation. Every time you come to this place, don't look at it as, just another day. Because there are some things that God is doing in your spirit. Because you see, we live in a natural realm, but there's two realms. There are spiritual realm and the physical realm. The voices I was hearing, I could hear them, but I can't see them. That is because that voices was in a spiritual realm. So at the moment I begin to enter into the places of God, and my spirit realm begin to get cleansed. It begins to be erased. Something was happening in the spirit realm because now the voices are no longer there. I could have gone to the rehab and to the doctors and they could have given me all kinds of medication and I could have been vegetable and I won't even be standing here right now. But I put faith in Jesus and I trusted that Jesus can help me. You understand what I'm saying? And so when you come to Joshua Center, this is why it's so important for you to bring your children here. Because you see, your children can be good right now. Like I was good when I was a child, but I never knew that I was going to turn out this way. It was only one friend that I met that changed my whole life around. One friend, just to have a discussion about Michael Jordan shoes, it changed my life. And when I got in trouble, I connected with one friend, my brother, and he changed my life. The Bible says it's through one man that sin entered into the world, Adam. It is through a second man, Jesus Christ, that sin was eradicated from the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm here to tell you, regardless of your age, gender, race, color, I'm telling you that God Almighty, because you see, this message that I'm speaking to you right now, I have never spoken this message to my church. Never. Why? Because every time, because you got to realize that it's a different environment, different atmosphere. Do you understand what I'm saying? When our pastor's not there, right, when he's not there at the church, they ask me to speak. And anytime I speak with them, it is scripture upon scripture upon scripture. I don't share these things with them. But I failed to share these things with you because I knew that when I was coming to Joshua Center, I knew what this man is into, and I know exactly the impact that he has done to the city, and I know exactly, I said, you know what? This is the right environment right here. Because you see, if you guys can recall, there was a young boy that was stabbed to death, and you did the funeral. Because I saw it on the news. That young man was part of John Howard Society. That is where I worked. That young man sat in the office with us, and we were basically trying to get him enrolled in a program. But unfortunately, it saddened that he was unable to enroll deeper because some other young guy took his life. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's a young generation coming up in the city. If this city of Hamilton, any time or any season that we need to stand in a gap and pray for this city, that is now. Because you know that just yesterday or something like that, three young people were convicted in Hamilton, sentenced to life. Did they deserve the punishment? Perhaps yes. Why? Because they killed someone. But look at it in this view. Not only is this young man that they killed buried, now they also have been buried. And now the whole family is now affected. That's what I'm saying. And so the young generation that is coming up, this is the season here for, you know, this is the season here for us to pray for the city. To stand in a gap and pray for the city. And not only pray for the city, but put our prayers into action. Put our prayers into action. Because I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't for, you know, the politics, you know, these politicians and the city councilors, they do all they can. That's awesome. That's good. But there is one thing missing, this book. This book is missing. And you know, it's ironic that I'll tell you this. You guys might look like a small number, but you don't understand what you are doing to the spiritual realm. You don't understand the impact that you are actually doing to the spiritual realm. You don't understand when you guys come together and begin to worship. You don't understand if God was to open your eyes to show you the spiritual realm, what you guys are doing to the entire, you know, this whole street here. Move to the next one. King Street, Main Street, Barron Street. Just by you guys coming here and singing five songs and being sincere and worshiping to God. You don't understand if God was to, because you see, there was a story in the Old Testament where the prophet of God was talking to some man. And he says to the man says to him, listen to me, man, we are surrounded. We have demonic spirits. We are surrounded. And the prophet of God said, no, I know. But look, I'm going to pray to God to open your eyes. And you can see that the angels that are with us are more than the devils that are around. So what I'm trying to tell you is that even when you guys were worshiping, I closed my eyes. Because you see, the Bible talks about the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts. And one of the gifts that I've been operated in at Victory International Church that I see it happening is that often I'll call someone and I'll just touch their hands and I'll bring them up. And then at the moment I touch them, it's almost like I know what they did. Because, you know, for example, if you had coffee, I'm able to know if you are double, double or triple, triple. These are some of the things that the Holy Spirit has been giving me. It's ironic. That it's unbelievable. One day I was preaching a victory, and I said, okay, sing the song. I walked in a crowd and I touched somebody. Even right now, as I'm speaking right now, I hear the word dementia. I hear the word dementia. And I'm not sure if somebody's here that's struggling with that, but I want to tell you that God is already touching you and healing you. Because you see, the gifts of the Spirit is sort of like when you buy a gift to your children on Christmas Day. You can have the gift, but if you don't open the gift is just in a box. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, I'm here to tell you that Jesus in you, the hope of glory, is something that you have to protect. You have to protect Jesus in you. Because inside of you, it is the Holy Spirit. You have to protect it. Listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit is a person inside of you. And that person cannot be polluted. The Holy Spirit inside of you, He is holy. He's clean. Because I realized that the things that gave me all these problems in my life was because I was simply living unholy life. So unholy life invites unholy spirit. Unholy spirit. Holy life invites the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So when Jesus Christ loved sinners, but most of the time when He encounters sinners, He will say to them, go and sin no more. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then He says, sin no more or else the worst thing will happen unto you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the Holy Spirit inside of you is a person, and just like you get hungry for food, breakfast, lunch, and supper, He's hungry. And I'll tell you this, the greatest thing that you have probably have done all week, this week, is to come here tonight, this morning. Why? Because you brought the Holy Spirit into a king's buffet right here. This is the Holy Spirit's king's buffet. Because when you go home, you're going to eat, yes, as I am going to eat too, but the food that we're going to eat is going to go in our body. But right now, you're receiving a food that is going into your spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And so the Holy Spirit, you know, and because I was so heavy in smoking, this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit told me when I first got saved. He gave me an illustration. And He says to me, Andrew, this is why it's so important for you to quit smoking. And I said, show me why. Because you see, when I first got saved, I was still struggling. I was a Christian, yes. I go to church, yes. But when I go home, I'll still have a cigarette or two, right? I was still struggling. And God, He's so powerful and He's so awesome. God, He is such a gentleman, the Holy Spirit. He's such a gentleman. That's why Galatians chapter 5 verses 22, one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Because the Holy Spirit, He's so gentle. You can imagine how the Holy Spirit can talk to my grandmother. And at the same time, He can talk to my mother. At the same time, He can talk to my father. At the same time, He can talk to me. At the same time, He can talk to your child. This is how powerful God is. He's up in His throne. He looks into the world, which is half 7 point something billion people in the world. He looked at the world and He's able to understand everyone, accept everyone, doesn't judge anyone. Because Jesus says, my Father judged no one, but He has given all judgment to me. Can you imagine Father God? Jesus says, He's so merciful that He made the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. You think if God was like a man, don't you think He would just make it rain on Christians and make it not rain? So let's say a Christian have a farm and a non-Christian have a farm. Don't you think if God was a man, because a non-Christian is worshiping other God, perhaps maybe he's insulting God, blaspheming God, don't you think God will make it rain on a Christian? Because that's what I'll do. I'll make it rain on a Christian's farm and I'll starve the non-Christian farm. Right? Why? Because this man here is insulting me. He's disrespecting me. He hates me. But Jesus says, no. God is so merciful and He's so righteous. And then there's a powerful scripture where it says, God is not like a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. This means that the only person, listen to me very carefully. I got argument with my wife. And she says, it's okay. This is what you did? I'm not talking to you until you buy me something. And then I said, okay, so that's awesome. Isn't it awesome that God doesn't do that to me? And I said, oh man, you know what? I love you, honey. I love you. But man, and I started thinking about God, because I sin and all God said to me, Andrew, just confess your sin and I'll forgive you. I confessed my sin to my wife and she did not forgive me. She says, no, this ain't happening. No way. You did this, you did that. Listen to me, man. I ain't talking to you. If I ain't seeing flour, if I'm not seeing chocolate, perhaps sushi or something, I'm not looking at you twice. These things make me love God more. I love my wife, yes. I love her, but I'm telling you that God, the Holy Spirit. You can imagine, you know, I came across this thing where I was reading this thing. And it basically says that, you know, human beings each day, well, this thing was kind of biased because it basically saying that women speaks more words than men in a day, 24 hours. I apologize for the ladies that are here. I don't mean to come across this way. It's your day. This is women, Mother's Day. But I'm just telling you what I saw online. Okay? I read it to my wife and she says, be careful. You turn on the wrong ground. You might be sleeping on the floor. But I'm just telling you what I saw. It says basically that, you know, women speaks more words than men in a single day. So when I saw that, I'm like, wow, that's interesting. A single day. And then I remember a scripture where God says, do you know that every single word you spoke, ideal words, are written and documented in heaven? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, Andrew, every day you speak about 700 words or something. Your wife speaks 1,500 words. I want to ask you a question, Andrew. How many of these words do you utter them to me? And then I was convicted because the Holy Spirit said, yes, you spoke 500 words a day. You spoke on the phone with your buddies. Even a lemonade social media. Because social media, you just type in. Right? Your Facebook, your Twitter, you just type in. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to add that. We talk about words. You talk with your wife. You have fun. You talk like this. But how many of those words did you even... That's why I love when you were saying, what has God done for you? When you were asking them, do you have a testimony? And the Holy Spirit said to me, Andrew, you know, I used to volunteer at St. Joseph. I volunteered there for 2 years prior to going to Mohawk College. And they placed me on emergency area. And sometimes they'll move me to the third floor, and I was walking there. That's when I just kind of got saved, and I'll see people in a hospital. They have gas chambers, gas attached to them. When they go to the washroom, they have to bring the gas attached to them. They're breathing through it. When they go to the washroom, they gotta bring it. When they move around, they got to carry it. If it falls down, they try and catch their breath. And their lungs collapsing. And then I will be greeting people, visitors that come in. I'll greet them and I'll show them around. Often I'll peek into one of the rooms and I see somebody lying there. They got tubes attached to them. They can't chew food. They have to give them the food. Liquid food for them to be able to eat. If you were to ask any of them, what do you want? If you were to ask any of the women there, what do you want for Mother's Day? They will say to you, all I want is that so I can just eat steak again. Or just so that I can be able to just get out and walk from St. Joseph to Jackson Square without attaching this gas thing to me. So often when you ask, do you have anything to thank God for? It kind of brings it close to home. Because you see, when I was living in the North End, one day I woke up and one of my friends, he had a 6-month-old boy, 6-month-old, very young. Perhaps if I mention his name, you guys would know the name of this young man that had this son. He's my close friend, but I'm not going to mention his name. One day, some people knock at his door. He was into the same business as me, and they wanted to buy $200 worth of marijuana. At that time, they call it an ounce. I don't know how much they call it now because, you know, I try to stay away from that. They knock at his door, and my friend was very strong. He's a Canadian Caucasian guy. He's a very strong guy. I really like this guy because he watched hockey and he likes to fight a lot. When they knocked at his door and they said, we want you to give us the marijuana in your fridge, they used some girl as a bait because the girl knows them. And the girl knocked at the door to pretend, and these guys are hiding over there. And they burst in there and they pull a gun. And my friend, he's such a strong guy. I really like this guy a lot. He power struggled with them. And accidentally, these guys didn't intend to shoot him. Accidentally, just one bullet fired in his chest and he died. He left the 6-month-old, no father. And then, a couple months later, another friend of mine, he also got shot. Another friend of mine also wanted to go buy a counterfeit money from these guys from Toronto. They brought $20,000, real money. He's supposed to give them 40,000 counterfeits as an exchange. The exchange went bad. They shot him and he died. All these things happen in Hamilton. I've been in Hamilton for 23 years. I'm here to tell you this morning that sometimes the greatest gift that you can thank God for is just the breath that you're breathing. Because, you see, if you have children, your children need you around. You see, there are people in St. Joseph right now struggling to catch their next breath. There are people that have legs and they can go to church, but they don't want to go to church. Why? Because the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. So if you're here this morning and you are in the kingdom of God, you got to thank God because you are a chosen vessel unto God. Think about that. You are a chosen vessel unto God. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter who hurt you, when. The greatest asset that you have is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because as we're here right now, if God was to open your eyes to see, you might see, perhaps maybe there's angels around you that are embracing you because they love you and they care about you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you have so much to thank God for. And I'll tell you right now, Pastor Ace, I'll tell you this. What you've done to the city, what God has used you to done to the city, there are many people that have big churches, 5,000 people. Jesus Christ was on earth. He only had 12 friends. One time, he had 5,000 people because he multiplied bread and loaves and fed them. But on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when anointing came, there was only 120 people there. The 5,000 people that he once had, they all ran away. They're not there anymore because they just want the food. There are many people, many churches in Hamilton that are saturated with people. But I'm here to tell you that God in heaven doesn't care how much people you have. Because you see, you can have many people and never make it to heaven. That's what I'm saying. Because what God cares about is your heart. And I'll tell you this right now, man. Your heart for this city is unbelievable. The things you've done for this city is unbelievable. And I'm here to tell you that these people that are here, God brought them under you, your wings, your wife, to nurture them in the things of God. And you have to pass the baton to somebody else in the future. But I'm telling you that the Joshua Center is one of the greatest places in Hamilton. It's one of the greatest places in Hamilton. Put your hands together for Jesus and just thank God for what God has done. This is an awesome ministry that you guys have here. It's a beautiful ministry. And God doesn't care about numbers. What God cares about is the heart and the sincerity. Because I'll tell you right now. I was reading the Bible and I came across some scripture. It kind of woke me up. That God was giving description. If you are into building, architect, God was giving a blueprint of the measurement of heaven in the book of Revelation. There's actually a blueprint of the measurement of heaven. Anytime an architect put on a blueprint, it basically means that, or a measurement for a foundation, it basically means that that type of place can only occupy specific kind of people, certain amount of people. You understand what I'm saying? For example, this building here have a measurement. If you have 10,000 people, they can't fit in here. Why? Because this place has a measurement to fit only specific people. Heaven has a measurement. But what was interesting is that I was trying to look for measurement for hell, and I couldn't find it. And so the Holy Spirit brought me to a scripture where Jesus says, wider is the road that leads to destruction. Wider. But then he says, narrow is the road that leads to heaven. This means that in heaven, God in his infinite mind, he already know that there's only specific people that are going to come into this place. That is why in the book of Revelation, there is actually measurement for heaven. But there is no measurement for hell. This means that there are a lot more people going to go to hell in God's mind. He sees that there are a lot more people going to go to hell than there is people going. You got to thank God that you are among the people that are going to go to heaven. You got to thank God for that. Because you see, I thank God for that every day. And you know, my wife right now, she's expecting our first child. And one of the greatest things that I want to give my child. Yes, house is good. Money is good. You know, your bank account is good. But one of the greatest things that I want to give my child is that I want to bring my child to a place that they can go and learn the things of God. Amen. I'll tell you this right now. I want to bring my child into a place where they can go and learn the things of God. Because the way the world is going this way, this direction, and God is going that direction. That is what's going on in the world right now. The world is going that way, and God is going this way. And so what God is saying to the church, I want you to divert and turn, please.
please, as we're here on earth, I want you to turn and go this way and bring them in. Bring them in. Because if you don't bring them in, your cousins, your uncles, your friends, you got to bring them in. Because if you don't bring them in, one day you are going to be in here and you're going to ask God, where is my friend John? Where is my friend Thomas? Where is my friend Peter? Where are my friends? Where is my cousin? These are my prayers when I pray in the morning. God, I want my friends to come to Christ. You're going to ask, and God is going to say, I'm sorry, man. The only thing that allow you into this place is the blood of Jesus and this symbol here. This symbol here is the only thing that can allow you to come to heaven. And if you don't have this symbol here in your heart, because you see, when I was not saved, I thought this symbol, I used to love hip-hop music. I used to listen to all kinds of music, hip-hop, Snoop Dogg, Ja Rule, and I used to have all kinds of big, huge necklace with, you know, cross, big one, man, do-rags, hair braided, all that. And I used to think that because I have the cross, I'll go like this, Hail Mary, full of grace, mother of child, amen. And every morning I do that, and I thought that I'm going to heaven. And then when I got saved, God says to me, it's not this symbol around your neck, it's this symbol in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, the most important thing, miracle that you can ever have, is Jesus in your heart. Jesus in your heart is the greatest miracle that you can ever have. And God wants you. And you know, he doesn't remember. I don't think Pastor Ace remembered this, but he said this in our class. You see, because it's like 12 years ago, but he probably doesn't remember. But I'll tell you one of the things that I felt come out of your spirit in a classroom. You cannot shovel this book in people's throats. You can't shovel this book in people's throats. It's not going to work. The greatest way that you can speak about Jesus to people is through your character. Your character. Your personality. Your kindness. Outreach. Reaching out to people. Showing them God loves them. Caring for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you are walking Bible. You are walking Bible. And people observe you. They watch you. Your children are watching you. Your children are watching you. Your neighbors watching you. They will come to God and they will come to Christ. And your reward will be great. Because Jesus says when one soul come to Christ, the angels rejoices and your reward is great. And that is how you propagate the gospel. Your personality, your character. You know, like the one guy, he dropped his wallet and he lost his wallet. And the wallet had about $700 inside the wallet. And then another guy found it. He went on Facebook, Googled the guy's name, inboxed him, and said, hey, dude, I got your wallet. And the guy says, really? Yeah, I go to Mohawk College. Meet me here, I'll give it to you. And the dude went and gave it to him. And the guy took the wallet and open it, and the $700 is in there. This dude is so surprised that this guy did this. He says to him, why would you do this? Because I will never do this. He says, yeah, I know. I did this. You know why? Because I'm a Christian. Simple. He never said Matthew, John, nothing. He says, I did this simply because, you know, I'm a Christian. And this guy went home, can't believe it. Added the guy as a friend, wants to talk to him. Because he says, you see, I'm fascinated because all I've done is do BNE. Yeah, I go to Mohawk College, but I do BNE. I'm breaking people's cars. I'm breaking in people's houses. I'm so shocked that you gave me back my $700. I don't even deserve this. And he wanted to give the guy some money. The guy said, no, keep your money. I'm doing this to you because I'm a Christian. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is what this ministry represents. This ministry, Joshua Center, it represents that kind of ministry. Where you guys are reaching out to people, giving people clothes, giving people, feeding people coffee, helping people, talking to people. These are the things that the church needs to do. That's the thing that the church needs to do. So my prayer this morning is that this ministry will continue to function. The Lord God Almighty will open doors for you guys. And this ministry will grow into its full potential because there's a huge need for ministries like this in Hamilton. There's a huge need for this ministry. Just lift up your hands to Jesus. Just lift up your hands to Jesus as we enter in, just thanking God for this ministry. Father, we just thank you. We bless you for this ministry.
Hallelujah. We bless you for this ministry. We thank you, Father God, for the things that you are doing into this ministry. Father, we pray that let this ministry come before your presence this morning. We pray that you pour a strong spirit of grace upon this ministry. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' mighty name, the deacons that are here, the leadership that are here, we pray, Father God Almighty, that you will begin even this hour, this season, begin to nurture their hearts. I pray, Father God Almighty, for the spirit of servanthood to come upon them, because this ministry is so needed. I pray for Pastor Joy. I pray for Pastor Clerk. I pray, Father God Almighty, for the ministers in here, Father God, that you will touch them, bring a sense of unity among them, and begin to mold their hearts, that they will understand the sense, the purpose, and why you have placed them here, how important they are to this city. I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, for those that are here, the congregation, the family, the church family. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you will touch those that are here. They love you, Father God. If there's any need in anyone's hearts, any need, their homes, I release the husbands, the wives unto you. I release the grandparents unto you, Father God, in Jesus' name. I pray that everyone will live unto their full potential. If there's anyone among us here this morning that is suffering from sickness and any kind of bad report from the doctors, Father God, as you healed me, I pray, Father God, that you will bring swift healing on them. I pray, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, let your Holy Spirit saturate the young people that are here, those that are in the children's church. I pray in Jesus' name, and I lift them up before you. Even just like you spoke to Samuel at a young age, I pray, Father God Almighty, that you begin to raise them up. Raise them up, Lord, that they will take on the baton. After the deacons are gone, they will take up the baton, and this ministry will flourish, Father God Almighty. I pray in Jesus' name, pour a fresh anointing upon this ministry. I lift up Pastor Clerk into you. I pray, Father God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you know the heart and the desires of men. I pray, Father God, that you will touch him. I pray that you remove any infirmity from him. I pray in the name of Jesus, Satan will rebuke you. We command you to get your hands of God's people, and we ask, Father God Almighty, you fill your people this morning with a fresh oil, a fresh anointing. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that the Joshua Center will become the apple of your eye. I pray, Father God Almighty, that you will consistently pour a fresh oil upon this ministry. Father, I pray, give them ideas, suggestions, give them visions, a vision that doesn't come from men, but the vision that comes from the Holy Spirit. Father God, I stand in a gap. If there's anything that is hindering your presence to flow in this church, I ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, that you remove these things away, Father. I pray that this ministry will become a seed that grow into its full potential, a seed that grow into tree, a tree that grow into a forest. I thank you, Father God Almighty, that the city of Hamilton, the people that are addicted, bound by drugs, alcohol, the people that are bound by prostitution, people that are on the streets, Father God, you said we should make way and have them come in. I pray, Father God Almighty, that this ministry will become a doorway to bring people, to birth a transformation in their hearts. Father God Almighty, I pray those that are going to jails early, those that are being bound, those that are bound by the structure of the kingdom of darkness, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will intervene, Father God, and bring people that we don't need to bury young people at age, young age, but rather they'll live to the full potential. Holy Spirit, I pray that you birth revival through this church in this city. Yes. Bring a revival. Yes. Through this ministry. Bring a revival through this city. Bring a revival through this city. In Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Come on. Thank you.